8:38 a.m. I'm Eddie Fury here in the Morning Fury on this 4th of July weekend. Be safe out there, folks. As with me right now, a good friend, special guest also. A little bit, a couple years younger. He was in my brother's grade, actually. Richard Hamill. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
We didn't get a chance to hug or shake hands yet, so you just walked in here. You've been a busy guy, and you are a native of Michigan. You're a graduate of Deckerville High School also. Yeah. Full disclosure here, I know Richard, and he went to school with my brother, Ben, and we're here to talk about the Will to Walk Foundation's Woodland Hills Golf Course fundraisers coming up a week from this Saturday. It'll be Saturday, July 13th at Woodland Hills in Sandusky. So for those familiar in Sand Lake County, I'll get on out there on Saturday. The course will be closed for this up till the afternoon hours. So, but it's for a really good cause here. Now, we're going on how many years here?
27 years.
And for the Will to Walk Foundation fundraiser, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, and you've been running this in your home county, you could say. The first few years was at Huron Shores, and then later on moved over to Woodland Hills, right?
Yes, correct. Yep.
So this is basically a big golf scramble, a lot of raffles, a dinner, and everybody gets together. A lot of friends, and then some folks who are not friends but are willing to support this organization that you put together, right?
Exactly.
So, now, when did you first get the idea for Will to Walk?
Oh, it was actually funny. I was actually, I used to speak part-time for an individual back in Arizona named Dennis Deaton, and I would travel the country periodically on the side of my real job. Mm-hmm. And
What you do is what?
I'm a liability specialist, claim adjuster for Nationwide.
Insurance.
I'm okay. The guy that settles the claims.
Right.
So I'm the guy they call when things go bad.
You deal with a lot of phone calls then.
Right? I deal with a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, because I remember visiting you in the past. Ring, ring. Hang on.
Exactly.
Ring, ring.
Yeah. Yeah. The nice thing is about where I'm at now with the litigation part, where I handle more serious level claims. I handle more work with attorneys instead of the individual. So it's a little less phone calls now, but still, it's busy.
So if folks are seeing this on Facebook, and if you're just hearing Richard for the first time, for those who are familiar with Richard Hamill or don't know Richard Hamill is in a wheelchair. And the reason why Will the Walk came together is because I don't know how he does it. I tell you what, in his position, at least a bad accident. Full disclosure, my brother was in an accident with him. It happened on
February 17th, 1992.
And that was the day I got home out of the Marine Corps, coming home expecting to see my family and my brothers. And my father told me, we got to go to the hospital in Saginaw. There was been a terrible accident. Back then, there wasn't cell phones, and I neglected to even bother stopping the call because I wanted to straight drive to Michigan, and I made it there, and then I woke up, drove in, finding this out. And what exactly happened in that accident that you can remember?
I remember most of it. I was driving. Chuck Roberts was driving, mm-hmm. who's our local vet, I believe.
That's right.
Chuck well.
For all the farmers and vets out there, Chuck Roberts is the veterinarian in Stanley County, or the thumb beyond here also for who are familiar with him.
Yep, there was actually a bunch of us planning a ski trip because it was President's Day. And there was supposed to be a lot more going, and I forget exactly why. I think there was a party the night before and didn't wake up in time.
Back in the day, man.
Exactly. Ben and your brother Ben, John Bowling.
Yep.
And Chuck Roberts and I were going skiing, and it was kind of funny that day because I always drove. Mm-hmm. And that morning, I made Chuck drive. I told him I was not driving, and he had his parents' Astro van. And we were joking about Chuck never wanted to drive, and I pretty much made him drive that morning, mm-hmm. Which is unusual for me. I made him take the safer route. We talked about which is the better route if we're going to go through Bay City, Forestville Road, up through Bay City or 81.
These are seniors, actually, this intelligent back in the day.
Yeah, well, we thought we were intelligent. And the funny thing is we never took the safer route usually. Usually if I was driving, it was probably 100 miles an hour anyway. So it was a safer bet. We're wearing our seat belts, and we were driving towards Caro, about a mile before Caro on the Cass River Bridge.
On Deckerville
Road. Yep. And we hit some black ice. Looked over at Chuck, and I said, "We got it." And he's like, "I think so." And we hit a bump, and the van just slid. And we hit the left guardrail, kind of slung shot off the left guardrail into the right guardrail. And strangely enough, the van didn't flip or roll. It actually spun, and the centrifugal force of the van spinning mm-hmm. caused all four of us to be ejected out of the driver's side windows, which is pretty ironic considering how big, if you guys know Chuck Roberts, he's 6'3", 250.
He's a big guy,
dude.
Yeah.
And I'm 6'2", 190 or whatever. And mm-hmm. somehow Chuck and I flew out the driver's side door window. Mm. which, you know, my joke with Chuck was that, you know, you got stuck in the window and I broke my neck on your butt pushing you out.
Yeah. So Chuck made the opening bigger.
Maybe, I don't know.
In a sad, you know, in a dark humor there. So, yeah.
Yep. So I woke up next to the van tire. I remember waking up and I sat up.
Yes.
I sat up and I remember looking at my legs and I could see both my feet laying on their side. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, damn, I broke both my legs. Mm-hmm. Not realizing I'd broken my neck. And I was trying to look around, and I saw Chuck, who was bleeding pretty bad. He had a lot of glass cuts. He opened the window for me, and obviously he was pretty bad. John Bowling, I couldn't see. Well, apparently he flew over the guardrail, landed in a freaking snowbank. The guy never had a scratch on him.
Wow.
And your brother was laying unconscious.
Right.
And that's when I saw your brother, I was trying to get to your brother.
That's what my brother said. You were always trying to check on him, so you move, he might have...
Probably wasn't the smartest plan.
No, yeah. You were so concerned about your friends that my brother says, had he not moved, maybe it'd be a different situation here.
There's a chance. There's always that chance. You know, I thought Ben was dead. I mean, he wasn't moving. He was laying on his face. And next thing I knew, I remember hearing sirens. And I woke up and I felt the guys grab me and stabilize me. And, you know, this is all cut and paste because you can't ever in and out. And,
were you fighting them at the time or not?
No.
No, you said okay.
It was kind of like a dream. You know, I mean, it was kind of like a dream. And I remember them putting me on my back and they were stabilizing my neck. And I'm looking up at the pine trees and I couldn't hear anything, but I could see the pine trees moving in the wind.
Right.
And then I was out.
Shock.
And then the next thing I remember, I was in the hospital. And ironically, the woman that did the x-ray on my neck at the Care Hospital verified I had a C-spine fracture, graduated with my father. Mm-hmm. And she was a Bungard, Marianne Bungard, actually, and Mary Jane Bungard. And she called my dad, and I remember them saying C-spine fracture, and the next thing I remember is the ambulance driving to the hospital. And the funny part about that is I remember the ambulance, I could feel them passing vehicles, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy drives like I do, because I never liked getting passed by people. So.
Well, they were on black ice then. That was just a day of cold and
it was a cold,
Michigan,
icy day.
Icy roads.
Yeah, it was a cold, icy day, and it was one of those things. We were going to Boyne Mountain to go skiing for the day, and which we've done 100 times, and I just would have been wearing my seatbelt. I probably walked away.
Yeah. So that happened, and then the realization that you're probably going to be paralyzed here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. How did you handle that? Of course, I know. I can't imagine, but I know when I was told that, and then like 6 months later, folks, after getting on Marine Corps, I get hit by a car. So, and then for me seeing Richard in the hospital, now he's seeing me.
Yeah, I came to visit you. Yeah, I remember that.
Same hospital too. So.
Yeah, I thought you were about dead from what I remember hearing the story because it was actually the day that Kevin Kerberson passed.
Yes.
And we were driving to see you, and I found that out.
Yeah.
So of course I get out of rehab 3 months later. I'm driving up to see you guys. Found out one of my classmates had passed, and then I get to see you guys and realize how bad you guys are messed up. And I think I had a few choice words for you when you were not feeling so good about yourself.
Yeah, you told me get the F up, and you need to, you can move a little. You can move, okay? Things could be worse, and you would kind of laugh and just kind of raise your arms and say, "Look at me."
Exactly.
The attitude, people are just in awe of it. I know, going through my ordeal. You have your pits, man, you've had some really big pitfalls, and I always wonder how you pull out of it. Of course, I think you got to have a strong family behind you, and luckily I had that. Luckily, I had a girlfriend that I met.
Yep.
I'm still married to her now, and things just fell into place. But I still gave up hope sometimes because I had to go through 7 surgeries myself.
Right.
How many surgeries did you have to deal with?
Since my accident or during? So during was just my C-spine fracture. So I broke my 6th and 7th vertebrae. I shattered my 7th, so they had to separate my neck. Mm. So for 7 days I was in traction.
I remember the bracelet you had there for a while.
Yep, they had to separate my neck. They had 40 pounds of weight pulling my neck apart for a week. Mm. Then I had to go on and have my actual surgery where they did the fusion to the C5 to C8 vertebrae. And at that point, they weren't sure what was going to come back. They said that, time and the rehab. So I just had that one surgery from my accident itself. I've had one elbow and 2 shoulder surgeries since then.
Just because you injured yourself from rehab and all that,
active, yeah. It's one of those things. It's one of those things I realized when I was younger. I was 18 when I got paralyzed. I was an athlete, pretty decent shape.
Right.
And I stayed active. And that was the first thing the first thing I wanted to do after my accident when I got home from rehab, which was 3 months, is find a way to get back at it. And, you know, I had a lot of good friends that had, you know, Eric Burns is one of them. You know, Eric Burns.
He's the one that introduced me to my wife and pointed her out, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, Eric Burns did at a volleyball game, So I was there meeting somebody else, but then I spotted her walking in the gym. I always tell the story, coming into the high school gym. He goes, hey, what about her? He goes, oh, she hates me. She says she would never date a guy like me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so then
here we are. Can't count on Burns. No, Eric, are you listening?
I'm sure he is. So thank you, Eric Burns. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, for me, it was Glenn. Remember Glenn Taylor?
Yes.
So Glenn, he graduated with you, right? He graduated in 87.
Yeah, I was 89.
Glenn was my next door neighbor, and he was home from college on and off. And that first winter was tough. Mm-hmm. I think when all my friends went to college, and I was still home, kind of figuring out what I was going to do.
Recovering.
So, yeah. I couldn't roll over in bed. Yeah, my parents would come in every 3 hours and roll me over in bed because I couldn't roll.
Yeah,
because you get pressure sores, and you know, you think back to that level and how weak you really were, and you're almost like an infant. You know, your parents have to take care of you again. And I remember my mom told me a story not too long ago. She said your father and I had a conversation that if you were going to be able or not be able to do anything, that we're going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, like, no. That's not in the plan for any of us. And
well, that's not in your plan,
Well, it wasn't my parents' plan either. You know, I give my parents a lot of credit. My mom and dad, they could have enabled me, and they could have tried to protect me and coddle me and not help me and or not let me push myself. And I think probably a few choice conversations. I had my mother at times, and I remember I wasn't even home a month from rehab, and I heard my dad pounding out in the garage, and I come out, and he's putting a tractor seat on the lawnmower with armrest and a seatbelt, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, if you're gonna eat, you're still gonna work. Let's go.
And, you know, he still on the wall. I'm paralyzed. No, I don't care.
Exactly. And I don't know if you guys know, like my dad, C. Samuel, he was GM for John Deere.
Yes.
And,
Tri County Equipment. I just talked to Mr. Wadsworth last week at the Flying Breakfast.
Yep. And the you know, Ken Wadsworth was my dad's boss back then. And my dad and Ken, I'm not sure what happened with the conversation, but we had hay season coming up. And so they had a demo come out, a 7800 John Deere, big four-wheel drive, and they had a hydrostatic shifters on it, so you didn't have to use your feet. Mm. And next thing I know, I'm over my dad's shoulder, and he's throwing me in the tractor, and he's like, you've been driving tractors your whole life. Get your butt out to work. So he would drive me, he'd throw me in the tractor, and he'd come to work and leave me in the tractor all day so I could round bale or cut hay. And I'm thinking to myself, he's got me right where he wants me. I can't get out.
You can't leave. You got to finish until you can get out of there.
Exactly. So. But it's one of those things, like having that mindset of my parents. And, you know, they never let me feel sorry for myself, and they kept me busy and kept me active. And once I started doing things that I could do before,
was that the spark saying, okay, maybe I can move on here?
It was one of those things. Once you start doing things you were good at prior to your accident, you start realizing that I can do things. And then I think
things just gonna be a little bit tough for me, but I can still do it.
Yeah And I had a lot of good friends. I mean, the support cast, Louis Garza talked me into coaching football for his son Chris. Yep. And I remember thinking to myself, how the heck am I going to coach football? I can't show how to do a rip or a swim technique. And
it's on the mind.
Yeah, and Lou talked me into it. And, you know, Bill Brown and those guys gave me a chance. Dale Ladd.
Yeah.
Those guys gave me a shot to coach, and that was one of those things. And Jeff Terpening when I went to Marlette, you know, but football was a huge part because it was a big part of my life prior to my chair. And it probably is the reason that having all those options to show that I could get back and do things I was good at, and that gave me the momentum to keep going and to keep figuring out what else I can do.
So you're still what works and what doesn't right now moves on its own right now.
Well, I could get graphic if you want. I'm paralyzed from the chest down, and I don't have very good fine dexterity. My fingers don't work that great. I can feel them,
right?
But I just can't do more than little things. The ironic part about that though is when I was in college, I had to use typing splints because I couldn't type very fast, and then my job, which is claims, where I have to be on the phone and typing all the time.
Right.
I had to make myself and learn how to type
while
I'm on the phone. So if you watch me type, you laugh. I use like three fingers, and I can type about 50 words a minute.
Really?
That's
a lot better than I can do it during Swap Shop.
It's hilarious. Now, granted, I was a fast typer.
Maybe I'd have you host Swap Shop.
But it is funny. My managers come in or friends at work, and they're like, dude, how the heck do you do that? I'm like, I can't even tell you. I just do it. Yeah, so.
So long story short, here to catch up through those years, you went through that.
Yep.
Again, up and downs. I've had those too.
Yeah.
Before I realized, hey, you know, if I want a family, a wife, I would like to have that. You've had your girlfriends here and there, you know, those, just like everybody else.
I had a couple.
Yeah, you have your relationships. And then you finally met someone.
Yeah.
And you met her where?
Well, strangely enough, Chuck Roberts graduated Michigan State Vet School, and him and his current wife, Ann, were out in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married in Montana, and I was in his wedding, and then he was having a barbecue over the 4th of July weekend, invited me up, and I was there. And we had a late night one night, and I slept kind of wrong, and I'm all tired and jacked up. My shoulders were all tight, and I needed to loosen up. And using all these muscles, you get tight. And he's like, well, this girl, Alicia's coming over today. She wants to be here for the party today, so if I can get her to come early, mm-hmm. and she can be give you a massage. And I'm like, I'm in, too. So no offense to Montana women, but I was at the point where I was expecting like this 150-pound cattle wrestler to show up to massage me and throw me around a little bit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this little 110-pound long blonde hair girl gets out in a Hawaiian blue dress, and I'm like, who's that? They make those here?
And then that's where
I met her.
That's a spark, right? It was right then and there?
Her and I met, and we talked the rest of the day. And the next day, I was going back to Arizona, and I asked her if I could get her number, and we talked for 6 weeks, and I talked her into coming down, and then once a month visits and a lot of airline tickets for a year, and I moved her out to Arizona, and we got married a year later.
Wow.
Now I got six-year-old twin girls.
Yeah, do you wonder in your back of your mind, because in your situation, you got to wonder, does any woman, who's able-bodied want to be with a person like me? I mean, that goes
across people
in your position here.
I was, You knew me prior to my chair. I mean, I was pretty confident.
You were the ladies' man.
I don't know if I
still
ladies.
Is. That's still is.
And I admitted really, between my friends and the girls I knew in high school and going out, I think there was a time period there you felt that poor me mindset on and off.
Yeah.
And then it was actually my sister,
mm-hmm.
my sister Jill. We were at the mall one time, not long after my out from rehab, and we were in the mall. And I go into, I think it was Eddie Bauer or something, we go into the store and I look at this girl and she's looking at me and looking at my chair and looking at me and looking at my chair, and I lost it.
Mm.
I just left. She had no idea where I went. I'm outside, I'm crying. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't be this guy in a wheelchair, man. I said, I don't want to be this freak in a chair.
Mm.
And Jill's like, what? And I'm like, this girl's looking at me and looking at my chair. And she's like, well, how do you know she's not just checking out the hot guy in the chair? And I'm like, never thought about it that way. It was like those moments is where I was like, I started realizing that, okay, I can't walk,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still the same guy up here. I got to be that guy, because if I'm not that guy, then I'm not myself.
And definitely my wife's not with me because of my looks either. I know I can make her laugh. So
yeah, it never let me stop. I mean, it never stopped me from being myself. And once I got to that point, everything kind of went forward in my life. It was really pretty easy.
We went through a biography here. We got to get to the point here.
Yes, 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 yes.
Richard Hamill with us, Will to Walk. Real quick here, when we come back, we're going to have Will to Walk Foundation fundraiser is going to go on at Woodland Hills next Saturday, July 13th. We'll be right back.
Done.
All right, welcome back. Richard Hamill with me with Will to Walk Foundation here, and we have the big event coming Saturday, July 13th. It's the Golf Scramble Fundraiser. You can go in twosomes or foursomes here, right?
Well, it's usually foursomes, but if you don't have a foursome, we can fill you in. We have a couple twosomes that have already paid. We have some open spots, so don't feel like you can't golf just because you don't have four.
So the Will to Walk, this is when you're in your position here, you being in the wheelchair and being paralyzed, inspired you with some others to start the Will to Walk Foundation. And there is a website, folks. Go to willtowalk.org. That's willtowalk.org. You have fundraisers not over where you live currently in Arizona,
yep,
but also here in Michigan also.
Yes.
And this is all about what this organization does is some really great causes here with scholarships or providing equipment that folks in your position need, right?
Yeah. The one thing I did when I moved to Arizona, I met a lot of individuals that were in chairs and had different disabilities. And I started realizing, as most people here in Michigan know, about the No Fault Law. Mm-hmm. Which is going through a lot of changes right now, which kind of sucks.
Yes.
but it also comes down to, I didn't realize how many people that didn't have what I had because of my insurance that was set up. And the biggest thing is that the system, the way it's set up, is it promotes you not to work. It promotes you not to stay active. It promotes you to live on the system. And it drives me crazy. So when I started realizing this, and I met a lot of guys like living in one-bedroom apartments and living very poorly because they had to stay on Social Security because if they got a job, they would lose their benefits. No insurance covers pre-existing injuries. And I'm like, well, screw the insurance companies. Let's just go around it. So mm-hmm. I spent multiple, almost a year and a half developing it, working with different contacts out there, marketing people and whatnot, trying to figure out how we can make World of Walk different. What is my foundation going to be? And the biggest thing came down to, obviously, you want to support a cure. You want to support that type of it. But the big picture I started realizing after a lot of time is, what are you going to do with the individuals and help them get ready for any kind of a cure or stay active in life if there is not a cure? And so we really developed it. I have a great board, and it's all about promoting healthy and wellness and a independent lifestyle, to where if you are living life with spinal cord injury, there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to do what you want to do. And it's about pushing people to stay active. But we also don't just give it out there. You have to show us you're going to be motivated and you want to make a difference. All of our scholarships that we look at go from medical supplies to shower chairs to wheelchairs to hand cycles to any kind of sporting equipment. We've done a lot of driver's education programs we've paid for. Paid for modifications of vehicles that people can't afford. And it's all about being independent and being out there and staying active.
And this is the 10th annual one here.
10th annual. This is our first really big one because it is our 10th year. It's a big deal. Most nonprofits, if you look at the history of 501c3s around the country, 3 to 5 years is their average lifespan. Mm-hmm. And so to have our 10th one and to have it in our hometown is huge. It's huge, and it's something that I'm very proud of. Because looking back when I first started it, you know, if I knew how hard it would be to do a nonprofit, I probably wouldn't have done it.
it is hard. It takes a lot of people to come together and all that.
Volunteers are huge. We have a great supporting cast here. Luckily, my family, we have a lot of connections with a lot of friends here, but it helps here. It's much easier here, actually. Arizona's tougher.
Which explains why you see those Tri-County Equipment John Deere's.
We tried. Dad's got a little bit of pull still, but yeah. You know, Wadsworth have always been a big supporter of our family, yeah. And they were great to my family over the years. And, you know, Scott Wadsworth, he's got some Gators coming out, and they always provide that to us, and I really, really appreciate that.
And you usually jump in those and just head out and check on all your friends and golfers out there, don't
you? It's one of those things that, you know, for me, it's almost like having a wedding, you know? So it's like you work your butt off for the wedding, and you don't get a chance to really spend time talking to anybody one-on-one. Right. So that's my time to go around and thank everybody for coming out and saying hi.
Well, coming out and thank Richard also with the Will to Walk. .org. Now, he doesn't just help people in Michigan, but all across the nation who need it, right?
This is a national organization, yes.
How do you pick your candidates and all that? Do you
apply? We have a board. We have an actual committee. We have a scholarship committee, and some of them are prior recipients. Mm-hmm. So most of them have spinal cord injuries. And we look at from medical, which we look at urgent, what's the most urgent need? So if we have, like, this last round, we had 37 applicants for over $300,000, mm-hmm. which we couldn't do all of them. So we have to look at, like, what's the most urgent need? Is it medical supplies where they need this to live and be healthy and survive? And then once we get those gone through, we come down to what's the next level of, is it sporting equipment? Is it modifications where they can be independent? And sporting is more recreation, so that's always last in the list. It's more about keeping people healthy and fit and functional.
And by the way, how do they apply? They can go right to the website. If folks want to seek out help, they can go to Will to Walk Foundation website. Go to willtowalk.org. They got their what they're about, the scholarship program, the support for the injured, motivational speaking also that Richard still does a lot,
yep.
Along with other folks, right? You met a lot of great people through this also.
I really have.
And it's obviously got to help with you knowing that you're not alone out there.
It's one of those things. I don't know if you've ever given any presentations or if anyone ever speaks to people, but I can tell you firsthand that when you think you're going to give a motivational speech, you wind up being more motivated than they are, I think, because you realize how much you are affecting them and how much, you know, and afterwards when you get a line of people coming up to you and talking to you after, that's when you know it was actually beneficial and positive. So.
And the other side of that, you've seen people who are worse. Right?
I tell you what, that's between, you know, you have brain injuries, you have stroke patients. When I was in Mary Freebed over in Grand Rapids, I spent a lot of time realizing I was lucky because I still had my cognitive skills. I still knew who I was. I still could have a functioning life where I think that makes a difference. And there's a lot of higher level people. You know, you're C6, you can do things. C4, C2, you live in that event. Mm-hmm. Those are tough lives.
What bothers me is that you're in better shape than I am.
I have gained 10 pounds with all this healthy eating back here.
Well, that's Michigan. That's wife cooking and eating there. So, you know, I got the same thing. I just am amazed. I'm like, come on, man.
I'm actually recovering from my second shoulder surgery from April, and I'm hoping to get back working. I haven't worked out in 3 months. Yeah. I'm getting a little lazy.
Well, you still got bigger muscles than I do. If you see it on Facebook Live. Go to Will to Walk, and you can see the support on there. You can be a volunteer, a sponsor, or donate also, and there's contact information. They do have a Facebook page. I already put the link up on our Sand Lake Broadcasting Facebook also. We're going to have Richard back next week also to recap on this. But it's happening Saturday, July 13th, the 2019 fundraiser in Michigan for the Wheel to Walk 10th Annual Golf Scramble, 7 a.m. The check-in will be at 7, right?
Yep, and I think it's, what, 8:30 tee off? And I also want to make sure we let everybody know that if you don't golf...
You don't have to golf. You can come there for dinner.
Come out and have dinner. We all have drinks. It's going to be a party. We have raffles, and then it's always a good time to see everybody. So don't feel like you can't come out just because you don't golf.
Right, and it's $300 for a foursome, $75 for a single golfer, but lunch or slash dinner only. It's $20. But also you can help with even more fundraising with the raffles that go on there also.
Exactly.
WillToWalk.org. We'll have Richard back next week. Richard Hamill, buddy, nice seeing you, buddy.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. Love you, man.
All right. Love you guys.
All right. You're tuned to WMIC AM 660 and WTGV 97.7 FM. And we're going to join our news. I'll be doing the national news and state news all come your way, folks. Great talk here with Richard Hamill and the WillToWalk.org.